You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 19th of April. A stunning win in Oklahoma City. Resiliency at the top level. Execution of Quinn's game plan. Brilliant performances throughout, and we'll break it all down. It's coming up. The Jazz and Thunder, even at one. It is Locked On Jazz. Pow! How about that? What a win. Jazz even the series at one game apiece with the Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, look behind the curtains, hopefully a little expert analysis, and a lot of geeky numbers for you. Thursday Facebook Live edition. Thanks to everybody who grabs on. If you didn't catch it, finished the game last night. Great win. Our plane wasn't working. So we stayed in Oklahoma City another night last night. The hotel had to like reopen up the dining and everything like that. And so we ended up staying in Oklahoma City, just got back into town. So that's why the delayed edition of Locked On Jazz today for you. All right, I want to break down kind of what I thought I saw, some of the changes that took place in the game, some different aspects in the first two segments, and then the third segment, we'll try to get a bunch of your questions in on the show. The first thing that just jumped out in talking to Quinn after the game last night was that the absolute incredible execution of the Utah Jazz. The Quinn Snyder Institute put in a detailed game plan, and they absolutely executed it fabulously. And it showed in all sorts of different manners and all sorts of different ways last night. And, you know, it's a little nervous. You assume Billy Donovan has most of them so and can recognize them. So you got to be a little careful. But I feel like I got to be a little careful in a lot of the things I mentioned here. But, you know, you saw the Jazz getting to the middle of the floor. You saw Favors catching in the middle floor. You saw them getting pinned much less. Instead of taking 5 corner threes, they took 14 corner threes. Those are all execution things that Quinn instituted, got the game plan, and the guys recognized. One of the biggest things Quinn talked about in the days in between games was it's one thing to have a game plan, watch them on film, but having not played them and their athleticism and their length and their how great they are at a lot of things since December, there's no way you were really ready for it until you got into the game and felt them. And Quinn kept saying to the guys, okay, we felt them now. We understand, you know, what we're seeing. And so in the ability to then see that and feel that, he felt they would be able to execute at a much higher rate. And that is, in fact, what they did. And then they made these adjustments. They made, they made the changes that they needed to make in that game to be able to get the ball in the middle, get it back over the corner. Rubio had an unbelievable second quarter. Ricky Rubio's second quarter of execution, looking off defenders, creating opportunities with his passing was just superb. Not always baskets. Hit Ingles on a wide open corner three that Joe didn't make. Looked to Ingles and hit Gobert on a dunk he did make. Went to the middle of the floor for Favors to create some things. So Rubio was just great in that second quarter. The other thing, rewatching the game, Ron and I rewatched the game on the plane today on the flight back. The other thing that jumped out to me was the level of communication amongst the Jazz players. How many times the TV broadcast had Jazz players sitting there talking to each other in the game, reviewing, hey, but if we're supposed to be doing this, we're supposed to be doing that. Those kind of things. I think that's a telling sign to the level that Quinn has created amongst them, that they're really thinking through the game, trying to execute specific plans. He explains so well to them of what it is exactly they're trying to get done, why they're trying to get it done, what the purpose of what they're doing is. So they understood exactly what they wanted to get done last night in that game and how they wanted to get it done. And I thought that was really an enormous aspect to some of that rewatching the game. Obviously, Derek Favors had you know, it's interesting. Everyone's saying, well, this is the best game of his career. He kind of won the first-round playoff series last year, right? I mean, Gobert goes out. He's pretty vital in that Game 1 win, and he's really vital in that Game 7 win. So I feel as though that is, you know, got to be a little careful on how far we go with the accolades without being disrespectful to the amazing stuff that he did last year for the Jazz in the playoffs when he, in many ways, carried them through that Clippers series. That stretch late in the first quarter was purely domination. He was bigger and stronger and more physical than anyone else, and that kept the Jazz in the game and did an awful lot for that the ball. I mean, they were – that was a dominating performance in that game. There were a lot of aspects of where the Jazz were really, really good last night. And, you know, you have to be that good. They had some stretches where they were really, really bad. The 19-0 run was quite something in a negative manner. But Favors was totally dominant. Hit the two corner threes. Hit a fadeaway tough right side jump shot. Dominating inside of the glass. Defensively was very good. Available for Mitchell on one of those pick and rolls. A lot of game playing that went on late in the ball game. We'll talk about that coming up in the second segment. I mentioned it already, but Ricky's second quarter was really fabulous. His third quarter, when things went wrong, he kind of was in the corner of it. The missed call by Gary Zielinski on the on the 8-second call when he called it at 16. It's supposed to be at 15. He just missed that, and that derailed Ricky. Kind of the play before, he had let Russell get open for a pull-up three, and then he was reaching. He just kind of, it's almost as though mentally he got tired having played as hard as he was against Russell Westbrook up to that point of the game. I mean, it's just what an incredible, difficult task it is for him to be able to have to guard Russell Westbrook throughout the game and then turn around. Obviously, the 5 of 8 from 3 was pretty awesome last night. Corner threes, though, that's so very much the key last night for the Jazz. They got the 14 corner three attempts. Rubio, of his 5 threes last night, all of them but one were corner threes. The Jazz on above the break threes last night were ugly. They only hit 2 and missed, I think, 12. I think they were 2 of 14 on above the break threes last night and 7 of about 14 or 15 on corner three attempts last night. Remember, if we in our breakdown coming in, Thunder 28th in the league in allowing threes, 30th in the league in allowing corner threes, and the Jazz were finally able to take advantage of that and be able to they only hit 9 of 29 threes last night, so they're going to need more of those to fall as the series goes on. They did continue to do a good job on Russell Westbrook. Westbrook ended up getting, I think, 5 or 6 shots at the rim, but he ended up going 1 of 10 on shots that were not at the rim and not threes. He went 2 of 3 from 3, which seems an unnatural number, but so was the 0-4. Paul George, who's not a great shooter, if you get him in the mid-range, was 1 of 6 in the mid-range last night. So the Jazz did a good job with that. And then Carmelo pounded out 1 of 7 from 3, 2 of 8 from 3. I think he hit that one corner 3 as well. Haven't dug in yet to the fourth quarter, so should do that. Donovan was just incredible. I actually thought the game changed when he missed the dunk. The missed dunk and then the goaltending on the other end, I thought was somewhat of a sign to his teammates of, let's go. We're not done yet. Let's keep it going. And he willed that team. He was on the floor with 3 future Hall of Famers. He's the best one on the floor. I mean, that is an incredible statement to Donovan last night. Wasn't the most efficient night, but that fourth quarter certainly was. Jazz are on the wrong end of a 19-0 run and find a way from the 2-minute mark of the third quarter to bounce back from that. That's a resiliency and a fight that is pretty special because they were on the ropes and Donovan kind of willed them back at the end of that third quarter and then went to work. And boy, was that impressive on so many, many levels last night for Donovan. The fourth quarter itself, Donovan finishes with 13 points on 4 of 9 shooting. He misses his four threes. Didn't hit a three all night, and yet still was able to carry it through. I don't even know how to kind of characterize it. It's a fight, a will, a fearlessness. The spin move was amazing. The floater was ridiculous. The Jazz were playing cat and mouse games the whole time to try to get Carmelo Anthony on him. But I think also when you get down to it, the key play of all of that was very much where the pass to Ricky Rubio. Right? I mean, the essence of Donovan this year in the big game against New Orleans was the pass to Joe Ingles. There's another, the pass to Rubio in Toronto. The pass to Rubio here was as much as anything what Donovan's about. And that's how you kind of keep your teammates and everyone feeling as though you're, you know, engaged with what they're doing and staying on that, staying with them on that. And that's, to me, what jumped out to me about Donovan's night. From about the 2-minute mark of the third quarter on, the Thunder finished the game 9 of 32 shooting. So for the final 14 minutes, 9 of 32 shooting. Paul George went 0 for 7. Carmelo went 1 for 6. And Russell Westbrook went 0 for 4 in the final 14 minutes of the game. That's a huge story in this series. We'll get back to that in one moment. I want to talk about some of the adjustments that Quinn made and some of the other aspects, and then get to your questions. I want to welcome a new sponsor to the program. Have had a good time getting to know these guys. Rad Concrete Coatings. Rad Concrete Coatings, a bunch of really good guys. They've been in business for 17 years, started kind of right out of college. In fact, Mike started, his first employee is still with him 17 years later. Mike prides himself on getting the best applicators he can get. And here's the thing. So if you're looking for waterproof deck coatings, garage floor coating, they can even waterproof your garage. Concrete overlies, the salting death that happens to you in these harsh winters where your surface starts to flake. That's where Rad Concrete Coatings comes in. You can look at their website, amazing pictures, Rad Concrete Coatings. I think this is a joke by Mike. I think Mike's buying advertising to see if I can say Rad Concrete Coatings. That's Rad Concrete Coatings over and over without screwing it up. He also has the website Rad Utah, which would be a lot easier for me if I just could say Rad Utah all the time. But if you go to Rad Concrete Coatings or radutah.com, you'll see what these guys do. They go to all of the World of Concrete shows. They have the latest stuff. They have the best available stuff. They have the widest range. You'll see them featured in the Parade of Homes every year. They have 8 homes in the Utah County Parade of Homes coming up. So check it out. RadUtah.com. Go online. Contact form for a bid at RadUtah.com or Rad Concrete Coatings. Waterproof deck coatings, garage floor coatings, and concrete overlays as well. Today's show is also brought to you by Mizzou. I was really fired up. I got a note from a listener yesterday. He used Mizuma USA and has just so fired up by what it's going to do for him. So here's what Mizuma is. If you have 1 to 5 employees and you're not using Mizuma, you're probably losing money, clarity, and time. For Mizuma is going to help you out with all your bookkeepings. We just went through April 15th. We all know what a pain that is. For $75 a month, less if you use the promo code LOCKED, you get bookkeeping, unlimited consultation from a CPA, personal and business tax returns for $75 a month, your own CPA, your own bookkeeper. Here's how it works. You sign up. You have an orientation call with them. They hook into your information. They set up your first set of reports. It comes right to you. Every month you get a report. Every quarter you get a tax planning call. And at the end of the year, they have all of your tax work done for you because they've been updating you month by month. No contract, canceled any times, no hidden fees. MizumaUSA.com. 1 to 5 employees, you're not using Mizuma, you're losing money, clarity, and time. That's MizumaUSA.com. Promo code LOCKED, 801-980-2102. Free consultation, 801-980-2102. All right, I want to get to your questions. And there's a ton of them coming in. I would also like to get to one or two more things in the game. Changes by Quinn Snyder. I think I touched on them. There were some of them. Our guys got off the ball much faster. We moved the ball much better. That got us to the 14 corner threes. We got the ball to the middle of the floor to Favors on the pick and roll, worked the middle pick and roll. Changed the Crowder substitution pattern, had him play three, so Joe didn't match Paul George quite as much. Those things were big. I thought Billy Donovan did a lot of things too. Billy Donovan went to, we were torching them, getting through their systems, and then they went to a switching. It was interesting to me, they then tried some other changes, and they when they went to switching, they started to make some mistakes. And I think the reason is when you've pounded the same defensive system in for 6-7 months, and then you try to adjust out of it, one guy inevitably does what he's used to doing. In this case, one of them was Paul George, and that leaves other guys open, and I think that'll be the key to game three, is being able to take advantage of those things. I'll get into it tomorrow a little bit more, having watched that game over again, of what I think that some of those adjustments are going to be on the Friday. I will say this, and we never say this, I thought we got an incredibly positive whistle last night. I really did. I don't think Donovan was fouled late. I'm not sure. I thought Steven Adams was a sixth foul. We didn't get the Rubio call in the 8 second, but overall, I thought for all the times you complaining about this and that, last night you might want to go the other way and say, well, we got a really, really positive whistle. That was my take on last night. All right, I think I've covered a lot of it. There's so many things, having just rewatched the game and what was going on to... So let me see if I can get to your questions. Feel free to share this so other people know about it and see it. Make sure your other Jazz fans know about Locked On Jazz. All right, let's go to see if I can get to... there's a lot of questions have come in. I saw one guy. Hi, Crystal. How are you? Danny Amos has plugged in this feed. He is fired up. Justin Sweeney. Oh, Donovan, you are right. All right, Tyler says, I have to say, this is my favorite Jazz team I've ever watched. They play with passion and show their emotion, which I love. They're great. Favors was awesome. Mitchell was clutch. Can't wait to see how everyone develops moving forward. Saturday night should be a lot of fun. Tickets are, I think, still available. Maybe not. They have been, selling. Season tickets for next year available. If you're thinking about that, that gets you playoff tickets, I think, for this year, if that's still available. So check that out at UtahJazz.com. It seems like OKC scores in runs. How did the Jazz stop the bleeding quicker and make sure to be consistent through the whole game? Derek earned himself some money last night. Yes. The Jazz just really melted down there. That 19-0 run was so self-induced in so many ways. That was the weirdest part about that stretch there. And that kind of stunned me. As was happening, it started with kind of Rubio getting undone by that 8 second call, and then they missed on Royce O'Neal. Did a rewatching, I thought it was on Rubio, but actually rewatching, Royce O'Neal just took a weird route and left Paul George wide open, and then they did miss. Crowder got two good corner threes and missed them. So they just, they just came undone, and then Donovan kind of brought him back, which was what was so awesome about it, and showed a resiliency and a grit. It was interesting. Joe Ingles to Tony Parks after the game. Said he didn't realize there was a 19-0 run. So surprising there. Daniel Roos says, baiting them into iso ball is our play too. You know, I don't know if we bait them into iso, but here's some interesting things for you as we go through this. In playoff career in the clutch, Russell Westbrook is now below 30% for his career in the final 5 minutes of a close game. 6 of 53 from three. Has missed 16 of his last 17 from three, and is 11 of his last 40 overall. Paul George, playoff P, 33% last in his career in the playoff in the clutch, 28% from three, last year 2 of 11, last night 0 for 3, so 2 for his last 14. So far this year, Westbrook takes 51% of the field goal percents in the final 2 minutes of a game. He shot 39%, 16% from three. What's interesting is last night he suddenly gave it up. Carmelo Anthony this year, 7 of 27 in that circumstance. Paul George, 5 of 23 and 2 of 14 from three. So what's going to be worth watching in this series is whether or not late in game these guys actually have the gear we all think they have. Now, the Jazz have absolutely no late-game experience. Like, last night when these guys were playing clutch, Crowder was not in the game. So you had Favors, who played six games of his career in the final 5 minutes of a close playoff game for a total of 17 minutes. Gobert had 6 minutes of experience. Ingles had 18. That was it. That was it. And Donovan somehow got through it. And Rubio hit the big shot. The Jazz have like a combined 101 minutes of clutch experience. They're 7 of 22 in that experience coming in. And Russell Westbrook has 2.5 times more by himself. Carmelo Anthony, Paul George, Russell Westbrook have all individually played more clutch minutes than everybody in the Jazz combined coming into the series. The interesting thing is that's not necessarily good stuff. There's nothing cooler than the teaming these guys are doing. Love the Wasatch Front new branding. How many years till Mitchell is a scoring champion in this league, and could his play and his character along with Rudy Dross and big free agents, or does small market make it tough? I think small market makes it tough. But also I do think Donovan's going to be appealing to play with. And I do think Donovan's going to score 30 in this league, whether he wins a scoring title or not. I don't know, but Donovan's going to score in this league because he's going to figure out that above the break three off the bounce, which he just does not have right now. So Joe Ingles, a lot of questions on Joe Ingles. Well, first of all, Paul George is great. So let's not kind of lose that in this. And Joe's dealing with being guarded by Paul George. The Jazz do not seem to be able to get Joe Ingles into the pick and roll in the same way. And hopefully Joe's going to kind of bound out of this at home where he's more comfortable. They got him some corner three looks, and hopefully he'll be better. The plays that, you know, I don't know if this is fair, but there's the shot where there's a play where Paul George misses a shot. Joe gets a rebound. Joe gets spun around a little bit and kind of waits for the rebound to come to him. Paul George just fights through him from behind for the rebound and knocks it away, and they maintain possession. Those are the plays that aren't Joe Ingles characteristic to me. So that's, you know, that's the stuff that I'm hoping to see a little bit more. I don't know that we can take last year's playoff performance and really compare it to something and say, hey, this is a great model. I mean, he had the 11 assist game, which was great. He also had two games in that playoff series where he was 0 for 4. Games 5 and 6, if you recall, he was 0 for 8 from the field and 0 for 7 from 3 combined in just such a different role. So, you know, as teams just dig in and have a game plan on him and know what he's trying to do, playoffs may be tough on Joe. I suspect that at home he'll be a little bit more comfortable and have a little bit, take that aggression. He's lost a little bit of his aggression. I think that's clear. Interestingly, he played better all year on the road, but I just feel like in the playoff game, he may play a little bit better at home. But yeah, I mean, the Jazz are going to need he and Jay Crowder to knock down some shots if they're going to win this series. This series is a long way from done. Long, long way from done. That'll probably be the focus of tomorrow's show. How big an impact does Steven Adams have on the court? Steven Adams is just a monster. Now, interesting, last night, they were minus 10 with Adams on the floor. They were better when Adams was off the floor. People in Oklahoma are saying that they really thought it was obvious that his arm was injured and didn't look quite right, which is, you know, worth keeping an eye on. He says he's, you know, he says he's above ground, so therefore he's fine. He's the best. His interviews are so great. And I think you have to keep a, but he has a force. They though, when they go to Grant at the five and they spread it out, it's hard. The Jazz just dominate on the rebounding end of things, but they were positive one when Grant was on the floor in his 30 minutes. You saw rotations get slim last night. You know, both teams played 9 guys, but some of those numbers are shrinking a little bit. How about Jarebko, by the way? 13 minutes last night, 10 points, 5 rebounds. Jazz were plus 19 in those minutes. He was really, really super last night. Let's get to more of your questions, but today's show brought to you in part by The Advocates. Matt over at The Advocates has been in the business for 25 years at UtahAdvocates.com. You can call them at 801-355-5550. That's 801-355-5550. Your experience will be the following. You call in, you talk to a lawyer, or you call in, 60 seconds later, a lawyer calls you back, figures out what's going on with your case, schedules your case, gets you into the advocate system. Now, in 25 years, they've built a 106-step system that's gotten better and better, and that's really what sets the advocates apart. They're going to make sure you get good results, make sure nothing bad happens to you, treat you well. Along the way, the lawyer is not dealing with things that are unproductive for them, so they're interacting with you, giving you great communication, while the experts in the field are doing the various steps in that 106-step process. Accidents are all different, but the process is the same. So Utah advocates are able to then take that process and turn it into efficiency. That efficiency means productivity. Communication to you expedites the process, and you get a better result. 801-355-5550. That's 801-355-5550 at UtahAdvocates.com. All right, let's go back to your questions. Love them today. The Thunder are trying to keep our team after a win. Yeah, we got the extra day. Matt Moon, can you introduce me to Joe Ingles? Right now, he's not in the mood. I think the Thunder try to shut down Donovan hard in game three. Other players have to step up. I think that might be true, but then that means you're moving Paul George over to him. I think we might see more Raymond Felton, Russell Westbrook combination. I'll talk about that a little bit. This is where the Andre Robertson injury really hurts them. Really, really hurts them. Love the call last night. Thank you for always being great on the call. Boone was great too. Boone was unbelievable last night. Boone was deeply prepared, having been at shoot-arounds, talking to coaches, digging into the game plan. He was so great last night. Who is Donovan Mitchell? What is his career path? The kid is amazing. There's no question. How do we get Joe more involved in the offense? It's a great question. The offense last night was a 104. The defense was a 96.6. I'm not sure our offense can be a great deal better than 104 in this series. Maybe a little better if we have a hot night shooting. That's probably the baseline when you had 15 offensive rebounds. What were we on our second chance point opportunities last night? Let's see. Where's that window for me? We were 20 points on 12 second chance point opportunities. So we were 7 of 12 shooting off those second chance. They were 3 of 7 for 9 points. The night before they had, I think, 19 points. That's a huge part of this series is who's getting those points off second chance. Interesting, offensive rebounding, something I've talked about all year, having value and increasing. Remember when you said that there are only a few players who are actually untradeable? Yeah, I do. Donovan, to that point? It's kind of a silly question. I mean, I guess I understand what your point is. I'm not going to take that literally. Do you think the Thunder game plan was to take out Ingles as a vital piece of the Jazz offense? I do, and I would do the same thing. I was impressed in game one that they did that. Now, late in the game, they went and switched Paul George over onto Donovan, and the Jazz still found a way to score. What's interesting is late in the game, one of Donovan's adjustments, Billy Donovan's, was to switch everything. Well, the minute you start switching everything, then we can go after Carmelo Anthony. If they're going to switch anything, I'm not sure they can keep Carmelo Anthony on the floor. And I think that's where you end up seeing some of the Raymond Felton, Russell Westbrook, Paul George, Jeremy Grant, Steven Adams lineups. Or maybe Corey Brewer. But I'm not sure that you can switch everything the way they were. And they were doing all sorts of creative things to try to hide Carmelo, but the Jazz guys are pretty smart. And when you start doing that, they're finding those spots. So it's going to be interesting to see. The Jazz figured out Quinn broke their defensive system and got those 14th corner threes in a lot of those plays. They're going to have some changes to that, but that's hard because you're changing your defensive premise. So then switching is the next thing, and then that makes it, we'll see, because that puts Carmelo really on an island. How much of Steven Adams' quick fouls were luck, and how much of it was Quinn making adjustments to deal with him? I'd have to go back and watch them. Some of them were close calls. I thought we got a generous whistle. I'll just kind of hold at that. You have said Ben Simmons is a generational talent. I'm not sure you've used those words to describe Donovan. Is there a reason for that? If Donovan Mitchell is not a generational talent, I mean, I think that at 6'10 and able to, with the power and size that Ben Simmons has, and where he's able to get wherever he wants to on the floor, you know, I really think the only player we've ever seen like it is LeBron, and then the question is just going to be whether or not he's able to ever get a jump shot off. But he's LeBron with superior ball handling skills to start his career. I mean, he's really, it's really something else. Donovan's still got pieces of that puzzle. Like, I don't even know if, like, if Ben Simmons doesn't develop another ounce, I think he's an all-NBA player probably. Donovan adds that off-the-break three, and I think, or off-the-bounce three, and then I think he's a 30-point-a-game scorer, and then we're talking Dwayne Wade with a jump shot type stuff, and then we're there. But there's probably still some pieces of that puzzle that have to go. There's also nothing particularly unique about Donovan size-wise. I mean, he's long. He's really probably the joke on Donovan is that his feet and his arms are so big, he's supposed to be 6'7", he just never grew. Or 6'8". And that's kind of how he plays, too. Simmons has just got that length that and size that is unprecedented. Are Joe's struggles more about him not playing well or OKC making an effort to shut him down on the wings? I think it's a case of both. I mean, I think Joe's kind of been knocked out of who he is. I'm not sure Joe's had a guy that came in just trash-talking him from the very first second of a game the way Paul George did the other night. Just came at him. I mean, just came in to punk him as much as he could. And that seemed to kind of knock Joe a little off his game. I think we'll see Joe kind of regain his zest here. I also think there's probably some aspects, you know, there's some great players. Most players do not get better in the playoffs. Remember that. Most players do not get better in the playoffs. So that can also, you know, it's hard. Like, guys who know your plans, know your tendency, know your plays, know what you want to do, overplay you, get up in you, really defend you. Like, some of those aspects. And Paul George is probably the single worst matchup for Joe Ingles of any player in all of the NBA. I'm not sure there's a player that would be worse for him. Is the favors Gobert closing and not letting small lineups dictate matchups sustainable? I want to believe we can give Favors the role he needs to want to stay. I mean, if we're playing Houston, it's not going to happen. So it has a little bit to do with who we're playing. I mean, Carmelo's nice because Carmelo's just not going to be able to beat you up. So Carmelo allows that to happen. Are we safe to let our minds wander on who Donovan might be? Yes. Yeah, go ahead. We were doing it last night. He's just, it's really special. He's just outstanding. And I will tell you, usually you're around coaches and people like that, they're always downplaying, like, hey, hold it down. That's not going on with Donovan. He's just that terrific. Too big save this last night with all the rebounding. Are we proving it's viable, or do we assume Favors will be moving on in the summer? Let me just say this big picture. I'm not really answering your question. The biggest mistakes that I've seen made by people in evaluating talent in this league are assuming that a 7-game stretch or a 5-game stretch or a 6-game stretch of a playoffs against the same opponent is able to be replicated against 28 other opponents. Does that make sense? Like, there are certain matchups against certain teams that are good for you and good for certain things that do not parlay to the other 28 teams. I don't know if that's the case with Favors and Gobert, but just principally, that's a way I might want to avoid things. I want to look up one stat before we end this. This was my favorite. I want to see if I can find this. This was my favorite stat for game one. And that was the effective field goal percentage of both teams. So on game one of the series, the Jazz effective field goal percentage, if an average player had taken the shot the Jazz took was 53%. And they hit 53%. The Thunder's was 49.9%, but they hit 56.5%. So they were 6 points above. Last night, I'm looking at this for the first time right now, the Jazz was 55.5%, and they only hit 47%. Fascinating. The Jazz didn't actually make shots last night. Incredible. The Thunder's was 50.4, and theirs was 56.1. So they missed some shots last night. But that's amazing. The Jazz last night actually didn't make shots to the quality of the looks that they got. All right, I will be honest, and we'll talk about it tomorrow. Having rewatched the game, I left with the feeling that this series still had a long, 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 long way to go. In fact, thought OKC had some more edges than I thought, and I was going to talk about them tomorrow. That makes me wonder. That's incredible. How do we only have 80? Oh, because free throw line. All right, that is Locked On Jazz today. Thanks to our Rad Concrete Coatings. I said it again correctly. Rad Concrete Coatings. RadUtah.com, MizumaUSA.com, and Utah Advocates. Thanks so much for being a part of the show. We'll talk about it more tomorrow. I'll try to get to, I'll look through all the questions I didn't get to and see if I can get to some of those tomorrow. Have a great one. It is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.